appreciate your support and your love and your encouragement in the gospel so far as we have started this gospel meeting. I want to begin this lesson tonight as we continue to talk about some important things that God wants us to know, some important things that God wants us to be reminded of. I want to begin the thoughts tonight by reading from Acts the 17th chapter. And I want to start reading with verse number 30. Now here, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, is in the city of Athens at the Areopagus. And listen to what he says to the people of Athens in Acts the 17th chapter in verse number 30. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." As we began our study tonight from God's Word, I want you to take a moment to imagine something in your mind. I would like to ask you to imagine a day, maybe even in the near future, when everything as you know it changes forever. I want you to imagine a day when the unthinkable becomes a reality, a day when time as you know it stands still, a day when that which is far away comes near, a day in which the world and everything in it, your home, your property, your country, everything in this world is blown up with fire. It's all destroyed. I want you to imagine those things taking place. I want you to imagine all of these things one day becoming a reality, because according to the Bible, they will one day all become a reality. You see, according to the Bible, all of these things that I just asked you to imagine will occur on one specific day, the last moment of time, the last day of the great planet Earth. All of these things I just asked you to think about will take place on the judgment day. The judgment day. You see, it is the judgment day when the unthinkable will become a reality. It is the judgment day when every person in the world, even the atheists, they will become believers in God. It is the judgment day when time will cease, the Lord will come back, and the world will be destroyed by fire. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the judgment day when all of those things will take place. You see, the judgment day is, in fact, the greatest day yet to come in human history. On the judgment day, things will occur that have never occurred before. And as we think about the judgment day tonight, let me just begin by asking you, are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready for the most important day yet to come in human history? Are you ready for this day of reckoning? Brothers and sisters, are you ready for the judgment day? You know, it is interesting to me just how much the judgment day is mentioned in the Bible. You ever noticed that before? Especially in the New Testament. The judgment day is mentioned over and over and over again. It's mentioned by the Apostle Paul. It's mentioned by Peter and James, the Lord's brother, and the Apostle Peter. It's mentioned all over the place. In fact, notice that as Luke talks about, as the historian Luke talks about what happened to the Apostle Paul when he went to the city of Athens, notice how Luke makes it very clear that one of the things Paul preached about was the judgment day. In the city of Athens, of all places. In a city where people were immersed in idolatry and they had these bizarre religious rituals. And a place where the people were completely immersed in human philosophy. And they had an altar set up with the inscription to the unknown God. And a place where many people didn't even believe in God. Paul chose to talk to these people about the judgment day. He preached to them about the judgment day. And the question is, why did Paul do that? Why did Paul feel the need to preach about the judgment day to a lot of people who didn't even believe in God? Why did Paul feel the need to preach the judgment day in the city of Athens? What did Paul feel these people needed to know about this day? What did Paul feel these people needed to understand about this day? Well, if you don't mind, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what I want us to find some Bible answers to tonight. tonight as we continue with this series we've been looking at this morning concerning important things God wants us to know. If you don't mind, I want to talk with you about the judgment day. I want to tell you some things that I believe we all need to know about the judgment day. Specifically, I want to give you five things. Five things that Paul says about the judgment day in these two verses. Five things that Paul says we all need to know. Five things that we can absolutely be certain of when it comes to the grandest day yet to come in human history. Tonight, I want to share with you five things. Really quick, five things that Paul says about the judgment day. And here's the first thing right here. When the Apostle Paul was preaching this sermon in the city of Athens, the first thing he wanted them to understand about the judgment day is he wanted them to understand that God has promised it's going to occur. He wanted them to understand that God has promised that the judgment day will take place. Look back at the text again. Look at Acts 17 and verse 31. Look at the beginning of verse number 31. There the Apostle Paul says that God has fixed the day. Now, some of your translations may say God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. And that's how Paul says that God has fixed a day. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. That language is critical. That language indicates that God is the one who has invented or selected the day of judgment. God is the one who has marked this day down in his mind. God is the one who has guaranteed that this day is going to occur. God says the day of judgment day is coming. He has fixed the day in which he will judge the world. And as far as knowing exactly when this day is going to take place, let me suggest to you that there's no way for us to know that. There's no way for me to know exactly when the judgment day is going to take place. There's no way for you to know it. There's no way for any person to know it. You see, like the return of Jesus and the end of the world, just like those things, the judgment day is also going to take place like a thief in the night. It's also going to take place at an unexpected time. It's going to take place at a time when a lot of people are going to be caught unprepared. You see, as human beings, our responsibility is not to know exactly when the judgment day is coming. As human beings, our responsibility is to make sure we're ready if it happens on this day. That's our responsibility. But Paul, again, notice Paul says that God has fixed a day in which he's going to judge the world. And as I said earlier, this concept here or this topic that Paul is preaching on here, it is really one that is being promoted all throughout the New Testament. All throughout the New Testament, all throughout the Bible, you find the inspired writers talking about the judgment day. In fact, our Lord Jesus, he talked about the judgment day over and over again when he was on this earth. And can I show you some examples as to what I'm talking about? Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is giving what is referred to as the limited commission. And in Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 14, Jesus says, "Whoever does not receive you," talking about his disciples that he sends out to preach his word. He says, "Whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words, as you go out of the house or out of that city, shake the dust off of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Notice how Jesus says that people who rejected his word as it was being preached, it wasn't going to be good for them on the judgment day. Jesus says that there's coming the judgment day. You put that with what you find in Matthew 11 and verse number 22. And after Jesus is rejected by some people in the cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin, he tells those people, "Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." Again, Jesus talks about the day of judgment. You go to Matthew 12 and verse 36, and Jesus says, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they should give an accounting for it in the day of judgment." Jesus says, we're going to give an account for even the words that we speak on the day of judgment. All throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is talking about the judgment day. And then you go to the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Notice how Jesus says that when the resurrection takes place, after the resurrection, after the dead are raised, after the souls are reunited again with the body, there's going to be a day of judgment. There's going to be a day of reckoning. That's what Jesus says. The resurrection and the judgment day will take place at the very same time. And then you go to Acts 24. And in verse number 25, remember when the Apostle Paul was preaching to the Roman governor Felix. The Bible says that he taught Felix about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Paul taught Felix about the judgment day. You go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. And it says, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. It is guaranteed we're going to die one day, and it's guaranteed we're going to be judged. There's coming a day of judgment. In fact, not only are we going to be judged, but did you know that some of the angels are going to be judged? Absolutely. Some of those angels who have sinned against God, who have violated the will of God. And 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned. Notice how there's some angels who sinned. There are some angels who have violated the law of God, who have chosen to reject God's will. It says that when they sinned, God cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. You go to Jude 6. In Jude 6, Jude says that the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. They abandoned their home in heaven. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of that great day. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of other verses I could put on this slide. You know it and I know it, but I think you get the point. The point is, despite what the scoffers say, despite what the mockers say, despite what the unbelievers say, there is coming a day of judgment. There is coming a day of reckoning. God has guaranteed that in the scriptures. There's coming a day in which the judgment day is going to be reality for me and for you. That's the first thing Paul wanted the people in Athens to understand about the judgment day. The first thing he wanted them to understand is that it's going to happen. God has fixed a day. God has appointed a day of judgment. But not only did Paul want them to understand the promise of the judgment day, secondly, I want to show you now how Paul also wanted them to understand the audience. Now, by the audience, we mean that Paul wanted these people to understand who exactly is going to be judged on the judgment day. And so we go back to Acts 17 again. Let's make sure we get all the meat off this bone from these verses. In Acts 17, look at verse 31. In verse number 31, Paul says, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the what? In which he will judge the world in righteousness. Now let me ask you a question. According to this verse we just read, according to the scripture, on the judgment day, who's going to be judged? According to the Apostle Paul, the world is going to be judged, right? Isn't that what the verse says? And let me ask you something. Who would the world include? Well, I hope we can all agree that the world includes everybody. It includes me. It includes you. It includes everybody you see at Walmart. Everybody you saw at Golden Corral today. Everybody in the airport. Everybody at the fair this week. Everybody at any grocery store you go to. Everybody at the movie theater. Everybody in the wonderful state of Ohio. It includes everybody in North America, South America, Asia, Africa, Australia, Europe. It includes everybody on the face of the planet. It includes everybody to have ever lived. Paul says that on the judgment day, God is going to judge the world. Every person is going to be judged on that day. And he said the same thing to the Romans. Look at Romans, the 14th chapter. We go to Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. And in Romans, the 14th chapter, in verse number 12, the Apostle Paul says, so then each one of us, notice that, each one of us, me and you, we will give an account of himself to God. Paul says each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. That's everybody. Go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, a familiar verse, in verse number 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, for we must what? A-L-L. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. Just notice how over and over again it is emphasized on the judgment day, everybody's going to be judged. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the richest person in the world. Like Bill Gates. It doesn't matter if you are a well-known celebrity or a well-known athlete like LeBron James. It doesn't matter if you're running for president like Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. It doesn't matter if you're somebody famous in Hollywood. It doesn't matter if you're just a regular U.S. citizen like me and you. It doesn't matter who you are, my friend. It doesn't matter what your status may be in this country. You have an appointment before the throne of God. There is coming a day of judgment. There is coming a day in which every one of us will give account of ourselves to God. There is coming a day in which God is going to judge the world. And notice thirdly, how God is going to judge the world in righteousness. Isn't that what the verse said? God is going to judge the world in righteousness. Go back to the text. Look at it again. Verse 31. Acts 17, verse number 31. Because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed. Let's stop right there. Let me ask you a question. Paul says that God's going to judge the world in righteousness. What does that mean? What does it mean for God to judge the world in righteousness? Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. What Paul means when he says that, he means that on the judgment day, there's not going to be any mistakes made by God. There's not going to be any mistakes made by God because unlike with people from time to time, there's nothing we can hide from God. We can't hide anything from God. We can't hide our words from God. We can't hide our actions from God. We can't even hide our thoughts from God. We can't hide anything from God. Go in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I want to show you the last two verses there. Some great, great verses. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting with verse 13, as Solomon reaches the end for his quest for happiness and life. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in verse number 13, Solomon says, the conclusion, what always been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Now, some of your translations may say, this is the whole duty of man. Look at verse 14. For God will bring every act, notice that, God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Solomon says we got to live right because it's coming a day in which God's going to bring every act to judgment, even the things we thought we could hide from other people. You see, when we read verses like this, my friends, we see very clearly that unlike what occurs in our fallible justice system from time to time, on the day of judgment, there are not going to be any mistakes made by the great judge who is God. There are not going to be any people who are truly guilty getting away with their crimes. There are not going to be any lawyers with high bar exams who are going to be able to stand before God and convince Him to change His mind if we're found guilty. There's not going to be any bribing or trying to pay a judge off so we can get our way. There's not going to be any appealing the verdict so we can get a retrial later on. No, there's not going to be any retrials. There's not going to even be the possibility of a retrial. There's not going to be any standing before God on the judgment day wondering if He's just going to get this thing right. No, brothers and sisters, that's not going to happen. Unlike what goes on in our justice system here in America, you're not going to find any of those things on the judgment day. Instead, on the judgment day, what you're going to find is you're going to find God executing a righteous judgment. And He's going to do it through one person. He's going to do it through one particular man. Look again at the verse in Acts 17. In Acts 17 and verse 31, Paul says that God has fixed the day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed. Now let me ask you, who is that man that God has appointed? Who is that man that God has appointed to judge the world in righteousness? Well, that man God has appointed is none other than His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is that man. Jesus is the one through whom God is going to judge the world. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they will judge you in the last day. Jesus says on the judgment day, we're going to be judged by His words. We're not going to be judged by the standards of culture. But instead, we're going to be judged by His standard. We're going to be judged according to His will. You see, on the judgment day, we're all going to stand before King Jesus. Every one of us. Look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew, the 25th chapter. In verse number 32, I believe here the Lord is talking about what's going to happen on the judgment day when He comes again. When He comes again, in verse number 32 of Matthew 25, it says that all nations all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he's going to put the goats on his right and the goats on the left. Notice how on the judgment day, all nations, black, white, Chinese, Japanese, doesn't matter if you're German, Indian, doesn't matter what you are, all nations will stand before Jesus. All nations will stand before the King Jesus, and they're going to stand before him. We're going to stand before him for a specific purpose. We're going to stand before him so we can give an account for how we've lived our lives. And then what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that we give an account for the things we've done in our bodies, whether those things be good or whether those things be evil. Every nation, every person will stand before Jesus and give an account for how they lived their lives. And on that day, on the judgment day, we're either going to hear the best words we've ever heard in our lives, or we're going to hear the worst words we've ever heard in our lives. We're either going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We're either going to hear that, or we're going to hear, "Depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me, I never knew you." Ladies and gentlemen, on the judgment day, we're going to hear one of those two statements. We're going to hear one of those two statements on Jesus, from Jesus. And based on which statement we hear on that day, it's going to determine a lot. It's going to determine everything. It's going to determine where we're going to be for eternity. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 46. Are you there still in the text? Look at Matthew 25. And we read this verse this morning. Well, let's read it again. In verse number 46, Jesus says that those who reject him, those who don't do what he says, they will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I want you to notice how this verdict that we're going to hear from Jesus has far-reaching consequences. Do you see it? The consequences are greater than being given life in prison or the death penalty on this earth. The consequences that come from his verdict are eternal, depending on what we hear from him on that day. Depending on the verdict we receive from him on that day will determine whether we are rewarded with a home in heaven or we're cast into the pits of hell. You see, on the judgment day, God's going to judge the world. He's going to do it through his son. He's going to do it in righteousness. That means his son's not going to get anything wrong. Not going to be any mistakes. The judgment Jesus gives on that day is going to be 100% correct. It's going to be just. It's going to be righteous. It is going to be accurate. You see, we're cast into hell on that day. It's not going to be because God got it wrong with us. It's not going to be because God made a mistake. It's not going to be because we couldn't afford a good lawyer. It's not going to be because God is unfair with us. You see, if we're cast into hell on that day, it's because we died in our sins. And Jesus given us the punishment he promised to give every person who dies in their sins. The Bible says there's coming a judgment day. There's coming a day which God's going to judge the world in righteousness through his son. And for those of you who may wonder how we can be so certain about this, let me suggest that Paul answers that question as well. If you're sitting there wondering tonight, well, Sean, how can we be so sure these things are going to happen? Go back to Acts 17. Look at verse 31 again. And verse number 31, text says, because he has fixed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished what? Having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Before we break down the second part of this verse, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about this. If there is no judgment day coming, ladies and gentlemen, if there is no day coming in which we're going to give an account of ourselves to God, then the truth is, it really doesn't matter how we live. It really doesn't. If there is no coming judgment day, if there's no day of reckoning coming, then we can have sex outside of marriage anytime we want. We can curse, we can lie, we can cheat, we can murder, we can look at all the pornography we want to look at. If there is no coming judgment day, then it really doesn't matter what we do. But again, as Paul says, there is coming a judgment day. There's coming a day of reckoning, and God has given us assurance. He has given us proof that this is going to happen. According to the Apostle Paul, the ultimate proof God has given us that there is coming a judgment day is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says that the resurrection of Jesus proves that not only is Jesus the Son of God, and not only was his sacrifice acceptable to God, and not only is everything he taught correct, but his resurrection also proves that there is coming a judgment day. It guarantees a judgment day. That's what Paul says. That's how important the resurrection is. And maybe that explains why the Holy Spirit constantly inspired the apostles and the other first century disciples to talk about the resurrection. Maybe that explains why it was so vital that the first century Christians tell people that they saw Jesus with their own eyes raised from the dead. I'm reminded of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter in verse number 3. And verse number 3 of that chapter. The Apostle Paul says, For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. And after that He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as the one untimely born, He appeared to me also. Notice how in this text, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing that Jesus died. He died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold Him. The grave couldn't hold Jesus. Jesus was raised from the dead. That's what Paul says there. In fact, not only does Paul say that Jesus was raised from the dead, but he also says He was seen by several eyewitnesses, including 500 people at one time. Ladies and gentlemen, that is 10 times the number of people who were here this morning. That's how many people saw Jesus at one time. And not only did people see Jesus after He was raised, but there were several occasions when He ate with people, when He taught people, when He had conversations with people. There was even a time when He let Thomas touch His resurrected body. So many people saw the Lord after He came out of the tomb, and many of these people died. They died terrible deaths, testifying to other people about what they saw. You search the New Testament. And you're going to find the resurrection. The resurrection is emphasized more than anything else. And the reason the resurrection is emphasized more than anything else is because without the resurrection, brothers and sisters, we don't have anything as Christians. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. Without the resurrection, there's no point in us being here tonight. There's no point in having this gospel meeting this week. You see, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus is a liar. He's a deceiver. God was not pleased with His sacrifice on the cross. We're still in our sins right now. He's not going to come back. The world will not end. There's not going to be a day of judgment. And ultimately, everything in the Bible is nothing more than a product from the mind of men. You see, those are the consequences if Jesus is not raised from the dead. But I thank my God, He was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. That's what Paul told the people in Athens. He was raised from the dead, and after being raised, He was seen by hundreds of people, and His resurrection gives us assurance that there is coming a day of judgment. That's what Paul told the people in Athens. According to Paul, the resurrection is confirmation from God that a day of reckoning is coming. That there is coming a day of judgment. I want to show you this verse, if you don't mind, from Romans 1 and verse 4. It's a great verse, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. And in Romans 1 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says that Jesus, he's talking about Jesus here, and he says that He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Notice how Paul says here that the resurrection of Jesus declares something. It declares Jesus not only to be the Son of God, but to be the Son of God with power. Paul says that Jesus has power. And somebody says, well, Sean, what does Jesus have the power to do? Well, number one, my friend, you need to understand that he has the power to save your soul. He has the power to wash away your sins by his blood. He has the power to reach your heart tonight. He has the power to help you and strengthen you when you're going through rough moments in your life. And he also has the power to judge you. He has the power to judge you on the judgment day. That's the truth about our Lord Jesus. He was raised from the dead, and his resurrection is assurance from God that there is coming a day of judgment. And because God has given us this assurance, the final thing I want to submit to you is we need to make sure that we respond to this information in the right way. We got to respond to it in the right way. It's not enough for us to know this information, but God wants this information to impact our lives. He wants it to change us. He wants it to motivate us to live a certain way. And so we go back to Acts 17 one more time. Go back up to verse 30 this time. In Acts 17, look at verse 30. Let's go back to where we started. Verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should what? They should repent. Why? Because he's fixed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Notice how Paul says that the coming judgment day, since God has guaranteed his son is going to come back, we should respond in a certain way. Paul says the judgment day should lead us to repentance. The coming judgment day should lead us to turn away from sin, to giving up sin and giving our lives to the Lord. It should lead us to surrendering ourselves completely to the will of Jesus. That's what Paul says there. Paul says the reality of the judgment day should lead us to repentance. It should lead us to changing our lives. The question is it doing that? Is it doing that, brothers and sisters? Is the reality of the judgment day provoking us to live for Jesus? Is it provoking us to live godly lives? Is it provoking us to surrender ourselves completely to his will? That's what it's intended to do. I want you to go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Before we close, I want to show you one more text in the Word of God. I just don't think the lesson would be complete if I didn't read these verses. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And let's start reading with verse number 13. Now here, I believe the Lord is talking about the judgment day. I think he's once again giving us some judgment day verses, and he's telling us here that the reality of the judgment day should motivate us to do certain things. Look at what it says in verse 13. In verse 13, he says in Matthew 7, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. Drop down to verse 21. Verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day. But that day there is a reference to the judgment day. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now there's a lot we can say about those verses. We could do a whole sermon from those verses, right? But for now, I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, I want you to notice here how Jesus describes the judgment day. He says on the judgment day, there are going to be two groups of people who stand before him. There's going to be an extremely large group of lost people traveling the broad path to destruction. And there's going to be a relatively small group of saved people taking the narrow path to heaven. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says that there are going to be more lost people on the judgment day than there are saved people. And I got to tell you, that is certainly contrary to what a lot of people believe today, isn't it? I mean, you talk to a lot of religious folks today, and they try to make it seem like most people are going to be saved. Some say that everybody is going to be saved. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says on the judgment day, there's going to be more lost people who stand before him than there are saved people. There's going to be a lost group and a saved group, and what determines which group you're going to be in It's not how much education you have. It's not how much money you have. It's not how much prestige you have, but rather it's whether or not you've done the will of God. That's what Jesus says in verse number 21. Again, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven will enter. Jesus says that those who are going to be in the group of saved have one important thing in common. They've all done the will of the Father. They've done the will of God. They've done the will of Jesus. Now, that's what Paul taught the people in Athens about the judgment day. And now that we know these things, now that we are reminded of these things, I just want to close by asking you, if this event occurred on this day, if the judgment day came tonight, which it could, I don't know when it's going to happen, it could happen tonight. And if it did, which group would you be in on the judgment day? Which group would you be in? Think about it. Would you be in the right group, the group of the saved? The group who's going to be able to hear their master say, well done, good and faithful servant. Would you be able to stand before your king with confidence and boldness? Could you do that at the judgment day that took place tonight? I want to be clear, brothers and sisters. I want to be clear when I say that God wants every person here this evening. I don't care who you are. God wants every person to be in the saved group. God wants every person here to be saved. God does not desire anybody to be lost. God desires every person here tonight to stand before His Son and have confidence and boldness on the judgment day. Somebody says, well, I don't agree with that. I don't think God wants us to have confidence and boldness when we stand before Jesus. Well, my friend, you don't agree with the Scripture. Because the Scripture says in 1 John 4 and verse 17, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have what? Confidence. Confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. According to what this verse says, as Christians, we don't have to fear the judgment day. We don't have to fear it. Instead of having fear, God wants us to have confidence. He wants us to have confidence in the fact that we are His children. He wants us to have confidence in the fact that if we are living for Him, He will keep His promise to bring us into heaven. He wants us to have confidence that He is just, that He is faithful, and He will not cast us into hell if we're truly living for Him. The Bible says that God wants us to have confidence on the judgment day. The question is, do you have that? If you don't have that, why don't you have it? Do you not have it because deep down you know you're not living according to the will of Jesus? You're not doing the will of the Father? If that describes you, then you can change that tonight. You can change that by surrendering yourself to Jesus, believing in Him as the Son of God. Turn away from sin. Being immersed in the waters of baptism. If you've done those things in the past, but you don't have that confidence as a Christian as you're supposed to have because you know you're not living right, it's time to repent. Stop playing games. Repent. Because that's what God wants you to do. And so at this time, we're going to get ready to sing a song of invitation. If there's anyone here who needs to get ready for that great day, the judgment day, God has given you an opportunity tonight. This day will not come again. And if you need to get ready for that day, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.